By 1996, Krishna consciousness had been thriving in Hungary for 10 years, and everything seemed to be very bright on all sides. Book distribution was thriving, new centers were opening throughout the country. We installed Radhesham in New Brajadam, and the initial bad publicity and a negative reaction which we had in 1993 or 1992 being identified as a cult was really sort of fading into the sunset. People were recognizing us as a bona fide spiritual tradition. They liked what we were doing, they liked the books, they liked the chanting, they liked the festivals that the devotees were holding and going to. And in the 5 years up to 2001, by Radhesham's mercy, Krishna consciousness really developed and thrived in Hungary. New centers opened up in smaller cities of the country. This type of opening of centers wasn't really a collective strategy, but rather it was based upon the individual desires of the devotees. And while it was successful, even to this day, we have yet to actually work out a real strategy as to what devotees in the country want preaching to be in Hungary, where they wanted to go, and how it would get there. We're working on that. But one thing for sure is that individual initiative and enthusiasm is not sufficient in order to make for a successful long-term preaching. There requires to be a very detailed and exacting strategy, without which we see that projects start and end, temples open and close, devotees come and go, and very often there isn't the type of follow-up or sustainability that's really required if we're going to be going on for the next 10,000 years. Our college, Bhakti College, was also inaugurated in this period, in which we were systematically teaching Vedic sciences, by that I mean philosophy, theology as well, and mathematics, cosmology also, to devotees, and also surprisingly to non-devotees. The idea was that our Bhakti College would be a government-accredited theological college, which would give real authenticity to the Krishna consciousness movement. Because in the West, if there's a religion, then obviously a religion needs to teach and train its own theologists, and needs to train its own priests. If you don't have a college or university to train your priests, then you really fall into the category of being a sect. At least that's how it's viewed here in the West. So the college began, and it is extremely successful, so much so that we have a very lucrative property given to us by the government, for which we're now trying to get funding in order to fix up. But there are many day students, many correspondence students, and we are the authority on Vedic culture, Indian culture, teaching a wide range of subjects. Our communications department really came into full force, and there were wonderful challenges and campaigns, as we call them, that catapulted both the communications department but the Krishna consciousness movement also into public view, in the public eye, in a very good way, in a very positive way, and so much so that even within the halls of Parliament, both our devotees, in this case mostly Krishna Lila, and the Krishna Consciousness Movement was known and consulted on issues that affected the passing of laws. And even to this very day, the ambassadors who are sent to India first come to us to get sort of a briefing on what they can expect of the culture and particularly the religions in India. In fact, just now we're also helping to arrange the Hungarian Culture Minister's meeting in India. Our congregational preaching continued to expand, although it hasn't expanded exponentially and still remains an area that requires very serious attention and development. And whereas New Brajadam was originally a national project, over this period of time it became increasingly a local project. The number of devotees who live there now is about 150. So by its own success in resolving its financial problems, having international Sankirtan party, increasing tourism, and just developing and growing in every way, it surpassed the centers of the rest of the Hungarian Yatra in all ways. And thus, at the present time, it goes forward on its own steam. Now Goshakti Prabhu, having replaced Haripad as temple president. So, interestingly, what had developed is that by rapid growth and individual temple presidents having their own ideas about how to spread Krishna consciousness, our national strategy became the sum total of local strategies. And that's not ideal management. It's something that, as mentioned earlier, we're working on at the present time. And a sociological phenomenon that took place was marriage. Many of the devotees had been devotees for 6-7 years at most, or maybe even 8. And they were coming face to face with the reality that they weren't going to be brahmacharis or brahmacharinis all their lives. And therefore, we were arranging marriages in the yatra. And interestingly enough, some devotees started to become independent. And that was a new thing also in the yatra. Up until this time, more or less, no one had really left Krishna consciousness. But now, the phenomena that some devotees just didn't really want to stick to the strict practices and vows of devotional service, that began to happen. And other devotees finding that their future wasn't as a missionary, that they didn't want to become full-time members of Krishna consciousness as a missionary movement personally, distributing books or whatever was required. Therefore, they slowly, and now in the next following 5 years, that picked up momentum, began to live outside the temple, work, and try to participate in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Of course, this is more than natural, but as I'd already mentioned some days back, because devotees had different expectations of themselves, they had a different idea of what they wanted to do, and perhaps they even had a false idea of what Krishna consciousness entailed, that you can only be Krishna conscious if you're living in a temple. This phenomena of devotees moving out of the temple, living outside and working or going back to college, had in individual cases a painful transition and took a while for the society to adjust to. I think that adjustment is manifesting or has already manifested now, and now we're actually managing and trying to guide this phenomenon by encouraging those devotees who have not the nature that will allow them to be dependent members of the society, and encourage them to be self-supporting, self-sustaining outside, good devotees working within the host Hungarian community, and at the same time attending morning program, chanting Hare Krishna, keeping to the vows, and taking as their service maintaining the Krishna consciousness movement through giving donations, doing personal service, and whatever other services that they could render. And of course, one aspect of this vision or this encouraging devotees in this way is the project which I'd spoken about quite some time ago, which is our membership, that we had tried to establish what the rights and responsibilities of different members of ISKCON were, not only the monks, the celibates who live in the temple, but also devotees who are living outside, and the different types of devotees who live outside the temple and serve. In the last 5 years, from 2001 to 2006, because of a lack of national strategy, we saw that projects based upon individuals were as steady as the individuals themselves. And thus, some temples closed, such as in Debrecen, Szeged, and Szolnok. Debrecen became a restaurant, Szeged a congregational center, which is now also functioning as a restaurant, and in Szolnok is just a namhata. Similarly, our congregation suffered, in other words, congregational cultivation suffered, particularly in Budapest, and one main reason for that, of course, was that over the last 3 years, since having identified the present temple, the whole focus of the Budapest Yatra was on acquiring a temple, which is a wonderful and a great achievement. All credit goes to the Budapest devotees, Vijay Gauranga, for making a really landmark asset and acquisition for Srila Prabhupada. For devotees who haven't seen Budapest temple, although it's not fully finished, there still needs to be many paintings to hang on the wall, and a lot of fine touches that will probably take us a couple of years when we can actually afford them. But still, it's here, down at Vijay Gauranga, on a beautiful altar. We have great facilities here for preaching, and there's a great opportunity for preaching as well. And we're trying to now cultivate and to take advantage of that. Now our focus will go into how to develop the other centers around the country, as well as New Rajadham, keeping into account the fact that devotees are no longer just getting married, but they're also having families. And when devotees have families, the whole perception of life very seriously changes. They start to see the need for acquiring a certain stable basis in which children can grow and develop. And there are those two alternatives. One is that they live in a very brahminical and simple life, just as devotees now in New Rajadham and some of the other cities do. Of course, children means education, and Gurukul education is only available in New Rajadham. So this is a very serious sociological phenomena that we're trying to address, how to ensure that in looking for stability, the grihasthas don't lose their wonderful opportunity for Krishna consciousness, and therefore whether they become congregation members, supporting members, in which case we have a network to keep them close, encourage them to work and simultaneously serve or donate, or they help develop the concept of self-sufficiency in New Brajadam based on really simple living and service to Radhe Shyam, or they remain in cities like Budapest and help run restaurant, preach and remain preachers. It's a real challenge that devotees are coping with, and the real wonderful thing is that those devotees who were young devotees in the past are now becoming mature, older. They're really doing a wonderful job in terms of managing the yatra, working together, and establishing a sense of stability on their own credentials rather than just on mine. That brings us to the present date, and myself actually projecting into the future. Just a little over a week ago, Sarup Damodar Maharaj left this world, and I see that many devotees in my age are also considering, should they continue in full-time service and be absorbed in the preaching mission, should they retire and practice, cultivate Krishna consciousness in a very deep way, should they do both, and how to do the balance of both, especially with intense preaching and management opportunities. Because time is short, anyone can leave this world at any time, and that includes myself. And on one side, we want to leave behind a legacy that can continue on into future generations, not something that will stop at one's own demise, something that is a offering to Srila Prabhupada. On the other side, we want to also cultivate Krishna consciousness, develop the inner qualities that are characteristic of pure devotees, attain stages of ecstasy and love, so that we do become qualified to return back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, my main focus at the present time is to ensure that the Hungarian Yatra doesn't depend upon me, but can continue on in my absence, and that therefore devotees are trained both as leaders and followers in a way that's suitable for that continuity. Krishna consciousness movement has to continue on for the next 10,000 years. And I continue to chant Hare Krishna and cultivate Krishna consciousness. Of course, I didn't mention back in 1996 when I began writing, that's also 10 years ago, and that's become an important part of my life and a large part of my contribution to service to Srila Prabhupada, especially the Krishna in Vrindavan series. By those books, I can glorify Radha Shyama Sundar, their devotees, and their wonderful pastimes. And while there could be a lot more experiences to talk about, and I'm sure there will be many experiences in the future, perhaps I'll continue this podcast some years down the road. But Krishna consciousness itself being just a series of wonderful experiences are meant to bring us to the ultimate experience, and that experience of, Srila Prabhupada says, becoming mad for Krishna, the experience of achieving pure Krishna consciousness, love for Krishna, and ultimately entering into the transcendental realm. That's the final experience, which I will not be able to give a podcast about. It'll just be something that others who have that same experience will be able to share. Hare Krishna.